Good morning. Let's get started here. Looks like the kids are headed back to their class. If you're out in the lobby, come on in. We're going to start with the message here, and I'm excited about it. I think really God has something special for us this morning. So again, good morning. Glad you're all here. It's going to be a good morning. My name is Steve McEnroy. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rock Church, and it's just my absolute privilege and pleasure to step into this next part of our Galatians series. So we're going through a book from the Bible, Galatians. The Apostle Paul wrote this. It's in a New Testament book that the Apostle Paul wrote. And we really believe at this church that this is God's Word. So when we study and read God's Word, we believe God can speak to us and help us and lead us and just reveal himself to us. So we've been going through this. It's going to be a 10-part series. And today's going to be part 9. So again, I'm looking forward to that. And this portion of scripture, you know, last week Caleb led us into, Paul kind of had a shift of gears. When he starts this book, he's very, very forthright and almost, it seems like almost forceful and saying, "You foolish Galatians, how could you slip into this way of thinking, this idea of having to do something, or even slip into thinking that you have to be circumcised to have a relationship with Jesus?" And he was really forthright, and we come to a place where Paul has shifted gears. And now he starts talking to these churches, really in this region of Galatia, these churches that he helped start, that he helped pastor and get going. He's just trying to pastor them and shepherd them with this book. And this portion is, it's amazing. As I've had the privilege of digging a little deeper, I think God really has some incredible truths in just these 10 verses. When we look at chapter 5, actually the core of today's talk is going to be verses 16 through 26. Now I'll have all the verses on the screen here and some verses to support it. You're welcome to follow along on your smartphone or if you have a paper Bible, imagine that, you could follow along with that too. But again, in this particular portion, Paul's describing this epic battle. There's an incredible battle going on. And the thing is, you and I are right in it. We're a part of it. We're not excluded from it. Every single person on the planet is actually in this epic battle that Paul really kind of brings to us. And I think in this portion of Galatians, it's really kind of like he opens the book and it's a pop-up. Because he's really describing the spirit and the flesh. He's talking about this epic battle between the spirit and the flesh. And the thing is, no one's exempt from it. That everyone is a part of this battle that's going on. And he actually paints a really vivid picture of the works of the flesh, and just how gross that can be, and how real it is. And then he also paints an incredible picture of the fruits of the Spirit, and how the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, how incredibly beautiful and right and good those are. And Paul talks about this battle that's going on. And one thing, if you can go away from this, one thing is, okay, we have the spirit and the flesh. The spirit is always more. God is always more. Certainly there's a real struggle, and it goes on in the mind, and every one of us wrestles with it. But God is always more. He's the creator. He's the one who in charge. He's the author. He's the one that knows every little thing that we need. One of the illustrations that came to mind as I was looking into this is the idea of the flesh, and the idea of these days it seems like often it's popular, or people try to, there's different types of detox, and immediately me comes to mind, we think of drugs or alcohol, and that's certainly one area of detox that maybe we might understand a little bit about that process, about trying to get either the alcohol, the drugs, out of the system, out of the body. There's also lots of different food detoxes people might get involved in. If you're trying to figure out, or recently I've had to try to figure out different foods that might be affecting me in a certain way. So you can detox your body and get all the sugar out or all the gluten out or whatever you might think you might be struggling with. First, you got to get it out, and then you got to try to figure out, okay, how am I going to deal with this now? The point is, in a detox, it's somewhat like the flesh. You know, Jesus died on a cross. He paid the debt penalty for our sins. So he took care of our sins. So that's gone once you become a believer, once you receive that forgiveness. But that doesn't mean you don't have this fleshly temptation and these desires, even in our thoughts, to have sinful thoughts. And if you say, no, that doesn't happen to me, well, you're lying. Because it does. Because we all have this flesh that we're wrestling with. And even the amazing truth that Jesus died and paid for our sins and that's gone, there's still this struggle. So with that, I want to get us, we're going to start right here with that background. The title is Crucify the Flesh. I'm going to talk about crucify the flesh. The Apostle Paul actually uses that language. He talks about crucifying the flesh. So I just kind of want to unpack that a little bit. So we're going to start this morning again. Last week we finished up with chapter 5, verse 15. This morning we start in chapter 5, verse 16. So read it with me if you will. Let God's word teach you. Let's unpack this together. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So there again, there's that epic battle that I just described. It's real. It's going on to keep you from doing the things you want to do. I mean, if we're all honest, we're wrestling with this. You know, there's certainly things we understand we ought to do. We ought to do, but we wrestle with that. At least I do. Maybe I'm the only one, but I doubt it. To walk in the Spirit first means that the Holy Spirit lives in you. That's what the Bible tells us. If you know, if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you're a believer, God lives inside of you. The Spirit lives inside of you. The Bible describes that. We read that. That's what the Bible tells us. So the Spirit lives inside of us. Second, it means to be open and sensitive to the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because oftentimes we say, God, talk to the hand. Be open to the influence of the Spirit. And third, it means to pattern your life after the influence of the Holy Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, as Paul describes it. When Paul uses the term flesh, he didn't mean our flesh and bone bodies. I think that's common for us, kind of that's our knee jerk. When we talk about the flesh, it's this Christianese that we can get caught up in. We think, well, that would be our flesh and bones. But really, as Paul talks about it here, it's not the old man. It's not the fallen nature. We talk about the old man or the fallen nature, that sin nature. Oftentimes, that's right. We say, there it is there. It's that sin nature. Or we talk about, no, wait a minute. There's this new man. The new man. When I'm born again, there's a new man. There's Christ lives in me. So there, let's just call it the tweener. There's this old man and the new self. Well, we still have this tweener, if you will, that Satan has trained. The world trains that sin nature from the old man. We've picked up all these bad habits, this sinful nature. And so before we come to know Christ, we get really well trained at the flesh. Our flesh records things. Even our mind, we can see things that are against the Spirit. And we record them, and they become a part of us. And we can really be turned. Our heads can be turned by that. precisely speaking, our flesh isn't even that fallen nature. It's the tweener. Look what Romans 6:6 has to say about the old man. It says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Crucify that flesh. Be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. That's what the crucifixion, that's why it had to happen. So Jesus could answer the sin problem of humanity. I'm so thankful for that. But here in Galatians, the flesh is that inner man. And, you know, until we have that influence and until we die physically and until we ourselves have a resurrection body, like the Bible talks about, if you know Jesus and you die physically, but you're spiritually alive, you know him, the Bible promises you'll have a resurrection body. It's like, oh my goodness, that, I'm convinced that's an upgrade. That at that point, when we're with Christ, even our families won't even matter to us. At that point, it'll be us and the Lord as he takes care of us. In these new bodies that maybe the most important upgrade will be, we won't even be tempted to sin. Can you imagine? We won't even have a temptation in our mind to think of the things the flesh desires, those passions and desires. That'll be gone. Man, to live is Christ, to die is gain, the Apostle Paul, right? I just think that paints a beautiful picture of that. I'm going to pray one more time. I ask you to pray with me that God would help us this morning, that he would really speak to us in a profound way, because these truths are profound. So pray with me. Pray for me. Lord, I love you. I do. And Lord, in the best way I know how, I just come to the throne and say, God, would you help us this morning? Every single person in here, every single soul that listens to this online or might watch the video, Father God, I pray you would speak to us. Lord, we would hear from the creator of the universe. Don't hold back. Father God, you said you would fight for us, and we ask you to do that right now. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. There's a good quote I like from Watchman Nee. Read that with me. The believer needs to acknowledge that his flesh deserves nothing else than the curse of death. Let us pray that we may know what the flesh exactly is and how it must be crucified. What is lacking today is not a better living, but a better dying. Spoken from a missionary who knew. Again, kind of this detox, if you will, is, you know, using that illustration again, we're trying to get out whatever is, whether it's alcohol that's causing us to struggle, or drugs, or let's just say we're trying to get sugar out of our system. So we've detoxed in the food department, and the sugar's out. And it's like, that's the crucifixion is complete. The sin is out. Once you become a believer, the sin is taken care of. But, okay, we're still here. And we still need grace. We need grace to save us, and we need grace to take us from here on. And there's a process. There's a sanctification that's going on. And most likely, if you are really addicted to sugar, if that's something like me, I really like chocolate and stuff, so it would be hard for me to go without that. So on that side of my detox, I would really like some M&Ms. It's just there's these passions and desires. I think that it's kind of just really, really similar. At least maybe that's a machism, but I can understand it anyway. Three steps towards crucifying the flesh. Kind of what I want to highlight as I picked apart these verses a little bit. Three steps towards crucifying the flesh. How do we do that? How do we not only crucify it, but quit living in it? quit living in the works. There's a real change, and that takes Jesus. That's the only way. The blood of Christ starts that. That's the only way it begins. That's the first step, the blood of Christ and your relationship with Him. It starts right there. And salvation is incredible. Only God provides it. Only Jesus provides it by His blood. He died the death that we deserve. He's a substitute for us. So right there, oh my goodness, that crucifixion was complete. Jesus did it all. Just like we sang a little while ago. And it's good just to embrace that and remember that. That's first step. Light up the dark. There's this flesh part. There's this dark that all of us have to walk through. And the first point is to light it up. Light up the dark. Here's a couple of good brothers, Bill Young and Greg Christman. He's helping start a church in Los Angeles. He's been there for 5 years. These two guys, when you're around them, you're like, these guys are spirit-filled, man. Greg is, I had the privilege of staying with him at our last region. That's where this regional meeting, and that's where this picture was taken, but we stayed at the same place together. And he's just one of those guys that's man, he's fired up. And so when we were breaking up to go home and drive and go to our different churches in our region of churches, Greg got a hold of him. He says, hey, wait a minute, brothers, before we leave, he says, here's his shirt. He says, light it up. Light it up, fellas. Light it up. And if you're ever around Bill Young much, he's one of my co-pastors, one of our pastors of the Rock churches. Man, that guy is spirit-filled, and I just want to be around him more. So to rub off on me. It's just for us. You need to be around people that are fired up like that so that we can get fired up. And I get around the heat. Not stay away from it in your own house, in your own corner. Get around the heat. We need to be men and women to do that. Light up the dark. But I really want to talk about how we light up the dark is with God's word. And that's how I want to unpack this. So here, the Apostle Paul starts his really description of this incredible epic battle. He starts by drawing or painting the one side, the works of the flesh. And here's how he begins in verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whoo! That's sobering. You know, I'm guessing not many of us have memorized these verses. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend you do, because Paul's painting this picture. It's kind of like he's daring us to stick our hand into the garbage disposal. Isn't that a gross thing to have to do? Oh, man, I don't want to stick my hand in there. All that slime and fish guts and everything else that is in there. Almost, here Paul goes, well, this epic battle is real. And this part of it, don't deny it, you see it. And we say, well, that's someone else. Oh, yeah, I saw someone else doing that. Oh, that's that people group over there, that sexual immorality. Take it personally. There's things in this list that will convict you personally. Fits of anger. Oftentimes we say, oh, that's not me. Well, God knows the flesh. He knows we're created from dust. And there's a sinful nature that's influenced us and continues to be in our world. I mean, goodness, look outside the window. We need the Lord. Verse 18. I'm so thankful for verse 18. He starts with the law of God. He writes the law of God in our hearts. Because this is what he says. Let me remind you of it again. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Are you a believer this morning? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, remember, the law is not a bad thing. But because of grace, because of the new covenant, God has freed us up from that. And he has written his law on our heart so that we might know him and follow him. He promised us that in the Old Testament. And he would do that for us. I like this verse. It's an Old Testament promise from Jeremiah 31:33. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Folks, that Old Testament promise is for you and me. God meant that for us. That's what he wants for us. He wants to be a part of us, to lead us, to direct us, that we would be his. He bought us with a price so that this would come into fruition. And we need to walk in that. We need to understand that that has happened in Christ. We are in New Testament times. Jesus came. Grace is here. Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Jesus did that for us. In verses 19 and 21, Paul kind of gives us this visual, didn't he? The flesh and all sexual immorality and orgies and drunkenness and all these different things. And the thing is, it's just, I don't know, it's like the ebb and flow of this ocean of yuck that we're walking on into it. It doesn't seem to affect us much anymore. And with the internet and everything, it's kind of right in our world. So we see it and we say, oh yeah, that's those guys over there. You know, and we just throw up our hands. It's the world we live in. It's just kind of gross. It is. We've become numb to it. It's like we let it into our lives. But it's a really good movie, so I know Hollywood put that part in it. But it's a really good movie. And I don't know, man, maybe we men and women that take a stand to protect our minds, to protect ourselves, so that we might walk in the Spirit. Don't let the works of the flesh just get inside you. Don't get the bad breath of the works of the flesh. Don't let it creep into you. It happens. There's so many things that we wrestle with. The law is a gift from the Lord, and it's a good thing. God gave it to us to protect us, and we build on that. His grace is built on that and comes in unison with that, and we move forward in grace. Reminds me of our dog. my son's dog, who's now our dog. But that's most places when I turn around in my office chair, there he is. He just likes to sit there and stare at me. But he likes to go for walks, so I love to go for prayer walks. So oftentimes the dog gets to come with me. But I have a rope leash that I put on the dog so I can go in the park. There's a sign at the park that says, do not walk your dogs without a leash. Always have your dogs on a leash. And don't let me cause you to stumble, but I often ignore that sign. And I know that's not right, but it's just, I'm just being honest with you. The dog will go to the coat rack by my front door, and he'll put his nose on the rope. It's like, time to walk, dude. It's our time to go out there. Let's go. And, you know, he'll look at me with that goofy smile, and I take him out there. And at the park, most times, oddly enough, the park by my house, nobody goes there. It's the perfect park. Nobody's there but me. So I'll often go there, and I'm praying, and I love to just cry out to the Lord and wrestle with things. I'm often wrestling through things with the Lord, so I like to sing out loud. I like to even holler at times, what about this, God? What about this, Lord? And I will. I just love just walking with the Lord, and the dog's on the leash. Often when nobody's there, I let the dog off the leash. It's just, okay. Be free. I don't know what I'm thinking. Go ahead and run. Jump in the water. I just love watching him just run, you know, and he'll keep looking back at me. I said, I appreciate trying to figure out where I'm at. But I do give him this freedom. You know, it's kind of like God gives us this freedom. So, you know, the the laws are important, but I give you this freedom to live and experience all these different things. When the best thing for me at times is maybe the law. And the best thing for this dog at times is the leash. Just the other day, I was prayer walking, and I was just kind of into it with the Lord, and I kind of wasn't even paying attention to the dog. We came around the corner, and there's a dude raking leaves there. And the dog thinks he needs to protect me. So it kind of startled both of us, me and the dog. I come around the corner, and what really startled me is the dog lunged at this young man raking leaves, and I saw the terror in his eyes. I was pretty confident the dog wouldn't do anything, but he sure sounded like he was going to do something. The best thing for that dog was the leash. I didn't have the leash on him. But you know, what could have happened there? He could have bit the dude, then animal control would have been called, and the dog probably would have ended his life then and there. Sometimes, that's the example I'm trying to paint, is that what's best for us is Lord, his precepts, the things that he's put in place to protect us, to direct us. We need to know those precepts. We need to know his directive. We need to know his words. We need to know what's best for us. And we need to cling to that. He knows what's best for us. He wants to protect us and lead us and direct us. I like this quote from my friend Pat Sokol, one of the regional directors in our movement of churches. He says, "Don't exchange the person of God as revealed in the scriptures for lists about how to behave. Don't form lists of don't touch this and don't taste that and do this so God will be pleased. Please God by walking with him and letting him train you." I just think that's just a good thought for my brother Pat Sokol. In Proverbs, we read this verse, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts." We need the Lord to search all of our innermost parts. If we're living in sin, we need him like a blowtorch. At least I do. Maybe if you're a construction, you can relate to this a little more. You got your little striker. God's word's like a blowtorch. Getting that yuck out of you. Sometimes that yuck, those works of the flesh are so ingrained, we've been so trained that we think it's okay to live with someone and have sex with them. We think that's okay, that's all right. My passions and desires are more important. And God says, "Oh, no, they're not. I know what's best for you. I know what's the very best for you." And oftentimes we need God to, his word to light us up like a blowtorch. I like this verse. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Oh, my Lord, help us. Light up our feet so we might know which way to go. Man, we need to pay attention to the Lord so we don't go wandering off. I like this quote from Martin Luther. It says, "When the flesh begins to cut up and the only remedy is to take the sword of the Spirit, the word of salvation, and fight against the flesh, if you set the word out of sight, you are helpless against the flesh. I know this to be a fact. I have been assailed by many violent passions, but as soon as I took hold of some scripture passage, my temptations left me. Without the word, I could not have helped myself against the flesh." We are helpless against the flesh without the word. Period. We are. I like this verse from Luke 11:36. "If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright as when a lamp with its rays gives you light." We're going along this road. Salvation is by grace. God rescues us by this beautiful crucifixion on the cross, blood spilt for our sins. God died for us and that salvation begins. But then sanctification begins. Salvation happens and sanctification begins. That as well is by grace. So you and I are led on this path in this life to growth little by little. Over 40 years ago, I worked as a construction worker, as an electrician. I know that's a long time ago. It kind of dates me. But when we first started, when I was an electrician, we had screwdrivers that they didn't have any motors on them. Can you imagine all day long? That's how we did it. That's how we do it. I remember having drills without motors. It's like, we'd drill it like this. I remember my boss coming to me one time. He was so excited about this newfangled widget. It was called a Yankee screwdriver. And it was a screwdriver that had grooves cut around it. And you had to pump it to make the end spin. It's like, you just had to pump. And they were kind of hard to push, but the end would spin. So it was this manual drill, if you will. And I remember poking so many holes in the wall because I'd be getting going with that thing so much and slip off and bing. But it progresses. I remember when the Whirly Bird came around. That's a screwdriver that was loose inside the handle, and it has a little thing on it. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but you spin it, and it goes, wee, 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 wee. It would spin around. So I got really good at that, too, doing the screws with my Whirly Bird. But now, how many of you have battery drills, have battery screws? We've arrived. Maybe you'll get, those of you who didn't raise your hand, maybe you'll get one for Christmas. My point is, God's at work. He's helping us get better. And it's a day-in-day long thing as we read about Him, as we experience with a loved one hard things where we have to trust God together. When hard things come up against us, whether they're health things or maybe we're so engulfed in sin that we can't see beyond it and we've been living in it for a long, 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 long time, God can just change that. He can stop it right now. If you're struggling with pornography or even your sexual identity, God can help you with that. That's not wrong. It's how He created us. There's a fleshly thing. That's how He created with us. We need to understand how that's the profound truth. How do I walk in the Spirit? God, I know You want the best for me. I know You created this way for me to walk, but yet this passion and desire I have seems to be drawn and wrestles with me to head me this way. God says, my word will help you. My word is like a lamp to your feet. I can influence you. I can direct you. I can protect you. Walk this way. Walk in Spirit. Walk in Spirit. Let me show you. Let me help you. Let me redirect your thoughts. Let me show you. You don't have to go there. I will help you go this way. You do not have to be locked in that place. I will help you to what's best. And we need to be men and women that do that. In fact, in Revelation, it talks about when we arrive where we're headed, Christians. If you're a believer, if you know Jesus, if you're a Christian and you're headed to when you died to be with Jesus, this is our end game. Eternity is our destiny. This is what it says in Revelation. And the night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign. We don't inherit the kingdom of light. That means we will inherit the kingdom of darkness. That's sobering. That's what Paul is warning us about. You know, and it might even sound rigid or even harsh what he's saying, but he's consistent with the biblical idea of conversion, of someone becoming a Christian. It's consistent. When we come to Jesus to have our sins forgiven and our soul saved, He also changes our life. It doesn't happen all at once. I can attest to that. And the work will never be perfected on this side of eternity, but there will be a real change nonetheless. There will be change. There will be evidence of God. I believe that. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I like this quote from Charles Spurgeon. Says, the grace that does not change my life will not save my soul. The idea isn't that a Christian could never commit these sins, but that they could never stay in these sins. Second point I want to make is to walk in victory. Spirit conquers flesh. We know who wins. The Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're a believer, God lives in you. You're a winner. You know, it wasn't all that long ago. I remember the Denver Broncos, my favorite team, won 2 Super Bowls in a row. Oh, my goodness. Those were the years. And I would guess that John Elway, the quarterback at that time, when they won, when he was invited to the White House, he didn't go and say, "Well, I'm not sure if we won the game or not, Mr. President." No, he probably said, "We are the champions. We're the winners." And he's still riding that high, as a matter of fact. You and I are the champions. We are the winners. If you know Jesus, we need to walk in victory. God lives in us. He will help us. Why would we ignore him? It's ridiculous. We have all authority on heaven and earth given to us by the Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Let's move on. Now, Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's what we want. Go ahead and memorize these. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. God helps us with that. That's a victory statement. It's like Freddie Mercury back in 1977 when he wrote that song for Queen. We are the champions. All together, God, you guys know this. We are. We are. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's a promise from God. Believe it. Walk in it. Make right decisions today to be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. God wants the best for us. He wants to help, but I really think it's at the root of mankind's struggle. All of us struggle with this. You are not exempt. The whole world struggles with this. The terrorists struggle with this. Our whole world struggles with it. At the very core, we need to be able to rise above it and understand the gospel is the answer to the world's problems. The gospel is the answer. Jesus is the answer to what our world is skidding off the edge for. Don't get me wrong, it's important to be in tune with what's going on in the world. But the answer is Jesus. Live out your faith then. Be an example to your family. Talk to your neighbor about Jesus. Be an example. Live it out. Step into it. You and I, we have a responsibility to display these fruits of the Spirit. God gave us that. It's a privilege. It's exciting. It's not hard. It's exactly what you were created for. Don't fight against it. Give everything away. Die to your flesh. Murder it. Kill it. I'm preaching to myself here too. It's probably why I'm so wired up, because I get disgusted with my attitude at times. We need God's help. Fruit has important characteristics. And we know some of those. Fruit isn't achieved by working, but it's birthed by abiding. Fruit reproduces itself. Fruit is attractive. Fruit nourishes. Paul could have used a different word. He could have said, kill the flesh. He used crucify the flesh. And I think that's important because it reminds us of what Jesus did for us on the cross. It reminds us that we were called to take up our cross and follow him. And it reminds us that the death of the flesh is often painful. And it reminds us that our flesh must be dealt with decisively. I like this verse from 1 John. It's for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith in Christ. in Christ, you can live above the passions and desires of your flesh. The resources are there. They're in Jesus. Look to Him. See your life in Him. If you're Christ, if you know Jesus, if you have a relationship with Him, then you belong to Him, not to this world, and not to yourself, and not to your passions and desires. My final point, keep in step. You know, once upon a time, well, I think I was maybe 11, 12 years old, I was part of a drum and bugle corps group in my hometown, small little town in Iowa, called the Osage Precisioners. And I think they formed this band to try to keep all of us crazy little boys out of trouble, and girls. We all joined this group in our hometown, and we would go to these state competitions, and we usually got last place because we just weren't very good, but we would practice for hours and hours. We were committed to the drum and bugle corps, and we would go out on a football field, and we would march, and bless our hearts, all of our teachers, they wanted the best for us, and they wanted us to be a part of this winning team. We learned how to march just all day long, and we'd march in parades, and 4th of July in Iowa, it is really hot. But we would go to these state competitions, and I can remember being so in awe of the first place teams, the higher tier drum and bugle corps, because they were just absolutely incredible. I mean, we didn't even compare to them. I can remember as a young boy, specifically the first time witnessing one of these top tier drum and bugle corps, and this group was marching around there, and they had these beautiful uniforms on, and I was just in awe. But really, what kind of took my breath away, for the first time, I saw this new method of marching. It was like cutting edge. They, instead of just marching, they did this slow thing. And so the whole drum line in this they were doing it real, and they did it in unison, and I was just like, oh, man, look. It just, I was just thrilled by it. And I think when you get into a place where God is working in your heart and you're with a family of believers and you are in step with Jesus, you're in step in your belief in Christ, you are in step with your doctrine, and you're in step in agreement with who God is and what He is doing, it's beautiful. In many ways, God's done that for us here in Utah County. At the core of this little church, God's done something that's just like, wow. And that's what Paul's talking about. Be with believers. Be in step. Don't be on your own. The body of Christ, that's what God intends for us. Look what Paul says. Well, first I want to talk about, let's just refer to this verse. Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I have lots of leaders in my life that have blessed me, that have taught me, that have trained me, and so do you guys. You have people, fathers and mothers in the faith that have taught you and led you. And then I love reading biographies about people, about their lives, about different people's lives, the saints of old, the heroes of old, and learning from them and how they were used by God. We need to remember that. There are people that influence you, and listen to them and let them direct our lives and run hard with them and be in step with them. In Galatians 25 here, 5:25, we continue on. If we live by the Spirit, these are the last two verses we're going to look at. Maybe. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited. You know, it would be easy to end this teaching right now and say, wasn't that great digging into God's Word? And it has been. But we're not done yet. Because I think oftentimes we're conceited. We're conceited. And I personally have been convicted as I've dug into this. You know, conceited means you think you're always right. You're always confident of your own opinions and perceptions. It's like, you know, I know what I'm doing. I'm right. And it provokes other people. It will rub them wrong, the wrong way, and it's a source of many conflicts. we become conceited. We become conceited over other people groups. You know, we do. We'll say the people of different faiths, we're better than them because we know Jesus. We might be better off, but we're not better than anyone. You say, I'm better than that heroin addict. I might be better off right now, but I'm not better than them. See how we can get conceited? You know, the different agendas that we have throughout the world, we get conceited rather than saying, you know what? Those people are going through this flesh and spirit struggle just like I am. Rather than getting above our anger and our judgment, we come to a place of humility, a humble and contrite heart God will not despise. We look at every single person as a child of God. You could come to know Jesus. That person could possibly get changed, and God could change their whole world and trajectory. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. It's happened to me. I was one of those people groups. I was one of the drunks. God helped me. He's led me and directed me. And we need to be men and women and just get off of our high horses. Quit being conceited. And recognize every single person not as our enemy. Our enemy is not against flesh and blood. It's not against another church. It's not against this people group. It's not against these hate groups. We become hate groups when we do that. Our battle is against flesh and blood. Or not against flesh and blood. It's against the spiritual battle goes on in the heavenlies that's beyond us. God will fight for us. We keep our eyes on him. The kingdom is advancing. Whether you choose to be a part of it or not, God will advance his kingdom. He is doing it. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm just fired up about this teaching. We go on and on. Envy. We envy people. We look at them and think, oh, they're better than us. Or I want what they have. We envy people. They're more successful. I want to be with that more successful church. We come conceited. We provoke people. May God help us. You know, we think our problems are in our circumstances or it's other people. Oftentimes, it's us. The problems are in us and need to be dealt with by the Spirit of God. God, help me. Your Spirit deal with me personally. You deal with me. Help me. Augustine used to often pray, Lord, deliver me from that evil man, myself. We need that kind of reality check. We need God's help. So let me just review quickly, just three steps to help us crucify the flesh, because there is a real battle that you're walking in today. And that's to light up the dark. Oh my goodness, being God's word. Don't think that you've arrived yet. You won't until you actually do arrive, until you leave this planet and you're with the Lord. Light it up. Light it up. Walk in victory. If you're a believer, you're victorious. You're a child of God. Step into that. Embrace it for God's glory. And keep in step. Keep in step with the Spirit. Be with other believers that can influence you. And with all that, those are just a few things that can help us to crucify the flesh, which is a daily thing. That is a day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. Am I going to choose my flesh and its passions and desires, or am I going to choose Spirit? Lord, help me choose Spirit today. Help me choose you today. One last quote by Jerry Bridges. He's on staff at the Navigators, and a Christian or an evangelical author as well. He writes, we could not take one step in the pursuit of holiness if God in his grace had not first delivered us from the dominion of sin and brought us into union with his risen Son. Salvation is by grace, and sanctification is by grace. I agree. Salvation is by grace and sanctification is by grace. May we be men and women that are led by the Spirit right now. We can be. I'm just going to pray and ask God to help us. I also want to just touch on our calendar a little bit too. Lord, I just love you and thank you. I pray that you would just lead us and direct us, God. We want to be led by the Spirit and no one else. I thank you for your word today, Lord. I pray you'd really drill it into us, really embed your truth into each and every one of us, into our minds and what we're doing. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.